Welcome to Multifamily Real Estate Investing, presented by Mara Poling. My name is Pat Poling. I'm the founder and CEO of Mara Poling, and I'm happy to be with you this week to talk about a topic that's related to our next webinar in our 2024 webinar series. That session is on asset allocation, diversification in your portfolio. This week, we're going to talk about how each dollar in your capital investment pool is not the same as every other dollar, and how that affects your allocation strategy. So that's this week. As always, thanks for joining me. If you have questions, shoot me an email, pat@marapoling.com, MARAPOLING.com. And as I said, our next webinar in our 2024 series is about a diversified portfolio and how multifamily real estate might fit in that for you. That's going to be on Tuesday, May 28th. You can register for that session by going to the Learning Center at marapoling.com and clicking on the webinar page. If you register, and we've already got a nice group registered for that session, so I certainly encourage you to join us. If you register, you'll not only get materials in advance of the session, you'll also have priority access to the recording of the session. We record every webinar, and then we post those recordings to the Multifamily Real Estate channel about 10 days after the session. Just recently, we had a session on underwriting, and the registrants have already received that recording. It'll post to the Multifamily Real Estate channel next week. So if you're interested in learning more about diversification and how multifamily might be a part of it, I'd encourage you to register. And if you can't make the session, still register. You'll get a copy of the recording, and you'll get those materials I talked about. Okay, so with that, let's get down to this week's topic. So let me take a crack at explaining what it is we're thinking about here, because it's a little different way of looking at this diversification issue. When we typically think about diversifying a portfolio, we talk about the different assets or classes that we might invest in, like stocks and bonds and gold and so on. This is looking at the other side of the equation, right? The dollars that we have to invest. So each of us has a certain amount of money. It may all be in one place, right? It's possible that it's all simply sitting in one bank account. For most of us, I would guess that it's probably in a few places. There's some in a bank account. There might be some in savings. And there's some maybe in some brokerage accounts or some other places. You add it all up, though, and those are the dollars that we have. So when we think about those and we think about asset allocations, a lot of asset allocation models talk about making investments as though every dollar were the same. And the idea that is, well, if you've got $1 million, you should have this much of it here and this much of it here and this much of it here and so on. And we think that makes a lot of sense, but for groups of dollars, because every dollar in your portfolio, in your capital to be invested, isn't the same as every other dollar that's in that pile of cash, if you will. And so we're going to walk through today just some of the ways you could think about the dollars that you have. And again, we think this sets up a really healthy conversation that you can have with yourself about, well, now that I've got this sort of subset of dollars, what's the right asset allocation for those? It does create a more robust diversification strategy. And we think one in which each investor has more control. Now, this is not an exhaustive list. This is just some that we came up with for today's conversation. Absolutely something for you to give some thought to in terms of what you might add to this list in terms of ways you would think about the various dollars that you have. All right, so with that, let's get started. So first off, the one that comes to mind is there's my today dollars, right? I mean, in my bank account, some of the money that I have in there, some of those dollars I'm using to, you know, pay my mortgage payment or to buy groceries or pay my utility bills. They're the dollars that I use day in and day out to take care of myself and my family. Those, when we start talking about investing later on, those are dollars that aren't really invested anywhere. Yes, they might sit in a savings account or a money market account. I don't think any of us would really consider those investments. They're just dollars that we keep liquid so that we can use them. So for purposes of having a way to think about these from a percentage standpoint, let's say we're talking about $1 million of total cash that could be invested. And for some of you out there, that might be $50,000. And for some of you out there, it might be $20 million. But we're just going to use $1 million. And then you can scale it up and down. And these percentages aren't data-based. In other words, we've not done some analysis that said, well, here's how much money fits in each one of those. This is just a way to think about it. So out of my $1 million, I might have $50,000. That's the money I need to take care of myself for some brief period of time and move dollars around and take care of expenses and so on. So I don't have $1 million to invest. I really only have $950,000 to invest, right? So that's one bucket. We'll kind of call them buckets. That's one bucket we've created. Another is I'm saving money or generating money or simply setting money aside for a thing. It's a targeted spend, right? So yes, the money may be invested, right? I might have it just in a savings account or a money market, which again, probably doesn't really qualify as investing in any significant way. Or I might have it in a true investment, depending upon the time horizon of these. So what do I mean by a targeted spend? Well, this would be, I'm going to buy a new car, right? I may or may not put some debt on the car, but I need some cash to go buy it. I'll put some money down. So I need some money for that. And I'm going to do that. My current car is in great shape. I like my car. And I'm thinking in another 3 years, I'm probably going to buy a different car. So those are 3 year dollars, and they're targeted at something. I have a specific need in mind. Another one that might look like that would be a house. Maybe I rent today and I want to buy a house, or maybe I'm in a house today and I want to buy a larger house for my family, or I want to move to a new neighborhood. Maybe I want to buy some property and build a home and have some space, right? So something like that, I might say, all right, I'm going to do that. And I'd like to do it as soon as possible, but I think realistically, I can only get there in 5 years. I think it'll take me 5 years. All right. So now I've got another target, right? So I've got a bucket that's got a target on it, right? You can almost imagine it as, you know, you've got a jar in your on top of your dresser and you write on it new house. And every day you're throwing some change into it from that standpoint. So I've got this targeted spend. Another one, and I think this is typical for many families with children, is a college education. How am I going to pay the hundreds of thousands of dollars that it costs to get a state education in some locations, certainly private education? How am I going to pay for that? And if my child is, you know, 13, I got to get on this. If my child's 3, I got a little more time. So these might be longer term time horizon items, but it's still the same thing. There's a targeted spend. I need to have this much money by this day. And one of the reasons that this is important, these kinds of numbers, is these buckets, isn't so much what we have to do to invest to get to them. Because generally speaking, a targeted spend, we're going to invest those dollars probably a little more conservatively, because there's not time, if there's a downturn in the value of the investment I make, there's not time to go back and earn extra dollars, right? So these are, I really have to hit these numbers. So I'm probably investing a little more conservatively. Again, personal decisions for everyone. But that's probably the way I'm thinking about these, which means the dollars I set aside to go into these buckets might not only reduce, but could significantly reduce the dollars I have to do other things. So let's say out of all of those right there, and I'm going to continue to earn income and be able to add to these over time, but out of all of these over there, maybe out of my $950,000 I have left, I've got $250,000 that I put into that. So now I've only got $700,000 left for the other buckets that I have. Okay. Emergency funds, right? That's another bucket, right? Because we're talking about all the cash that everyone has. So my emergency fund dollars are really different than any other dollar I have in here. And that is, they really are dollars I don't want to spend. So I don't want to put them in the same bucket, if you will, that I put in my today money. And at the same time, I can't lose these dollars, right? The whole purpose of having these is when things go sideways, I know I'm good for some period of time. And I can be comfortable and relax a little bit about those things potentially happening. And we've all heard you should have 3 months of expenses or 6 months of expenses or whatever the number is. That it's a personal choice, right? You'll have a number that you feel like works for you, whatever that number is. And those dollars, again, they're not really invested. They're put somewhere to be safe, and often put somewhere to be kind of out of hand. So they're not dollars that we're each turning around and grabbing easily. It's like, okay, this takes a little bit of work for me to go get this, because I don't want to, oh, gee, you know, I am buying that new car, but I'd like to buy one that's just a little nicer than what I was looking at. I'll just take some money out of those oops dollars, my emergency fund. Well, that's not why we're setting those dollars aside. So we probably do something different with those. So I'm down to 700,000. Maybe that knocks me down another 50. Maybe I'm down to $650,000 now. Okay. So what are we doing with the other dollars, right? The dollars we have so far have covered what our, you know, kind of ins and outs and normal spending is to take care of ourselves. We've set aside some oops money, some emergency fund money. We've got some dollars set aside for things that we know we are going to do, or that we want to do, that are an important part of our plan, like maybe building a house or sending a child to college or something like that. And we've set some dollars aside, and we can be continuing to add to those over time, but we've set some current dollars aside to do that. So I've got this money left. Like I said, it's about 600,000 or so. What am I going to do with that? What are those dollars? Now, some asset allocation models will do everything I just said. They'll say, oh yeah, you need to set this aside and this aside and this aside. And then they'll get here and say, oh, okay, so this is what you can invest, and here's how you can invest it. And I don't disagree with that. We do think, though, there's still some buckets that can get created out of those dollars that are left. So, for example, one of those buckets is the I want to replace some, most, all, or more than all of the income I currently make as a working person, whether I'm self-employed or I have a W-2 job working for someone. I want a certain amount of income replacement, and I want it to start at this point in time, and I want it to be this much, right? So this could be the 40-year-old that's looking out and saying, I'm going to retire when I'm 60, and when I'm 60, I'd like to have $5,000 a month in income coming from my investments. Okay, well, we could do some math and come up with a number to say, well, if that's what you're going to do, then between now and then, you need to put this much money into this type of an investment, and you should seed that with X amount of dollars. So you kind of have a bucket that's this income replacement bucket. Those might be dollars that, depending upon your age, you invest differently, right? Most asset allocation models will be affected by age. So if you're 30, focusing on that, pardon me, that's different than if you're 50, focusing on that, right? Generally, the older you are, the more conservative the models are going to suggest that you should be. But you still want to have those dollars really looked at kind of separately. And you've heard me say a couple of times that you can add as you go along. The presumption is if you've got some money set aside, that you have the ability to continue to add to those dollars. And those dollars are not all the same. Some of those dollars that you add are going to go into some of those targeted items or into today's needs, or maybe to keep your emergency fund growing so that it keeps up with your lifestyle. And you've got to look at how you allocate those. If there's not a lot of that kind of money coming in, and this income replacement objective is really important to you, then you might divert more of that $600,000. You might put $200,000 or $300,000 of it into this income replacement model. So income replacement would be a bucket. There's another that I call family support, right? And so, and I don't just mean a spouse and children, certainly that's family, or grandchildren. But this could also be siblings or parents, others in the family that, I need to be prepared, or I actually think I'm going to need to do some of this. Or I want to do some of this to help my family out. So that's a bucket that gets set aside, right? And those dollars are different than your income replacement dollars. Philanthropy. And a lot of folks, I don't think necessarily think about this when they're doing asset allocations. It's one that maybe is a little more surprising to give some thought to. Although I think everybody actually has this as part of their plan. So specifically thinking about, well, what would I like to do with some of the gains that I've experienced over time? I personally have been very fortunate. I've put myself in this particular position, and I'd like to do something with those dollars. And then obviously that's a very personal decision about what you do with them, but having a plan for what philanthropy you want. And those dollars are going to be very different than the other dollars. They could be structured as extremely long-term investments in which they throw off cash that is used to fund philanthropic efforts, but the dollars themselves don't ever get distributed, endowment kind of model, if you will. It could be something that's part of your estate, right? Could be something that's also funded by life insurance, right? And some of these other items could fit into that. And then there's another category, and it's one that I think makes a lot of sense for investors to have. And it's very common when I chat with folks about what they're thinking about in terms of their dollars, that they have some of these. And that is fun money. And I don't mean fun money like, hey, let's take a vacation to the Bahamas this summer. I mean fun money as in, I'm going to make an investment in something just because I think it's a neat idea. I think there's some real opportunity there. And I'm very comfortable with the fact that there may be some risk, maybe even some significant risk. Another thing you might do is call this your swing for the fences money. Now, out of the $1 million that we've whittled down to just a few hundred thousand that's left, this might be $25,000, right? Might be some very modest amount, but it's that amount that, you know what, I can make an investment that I hope is going to be the next, you know, plug in the name of the big successful investment. And I'm going to do that and not feel guilty about making that investment, right? And again, depending upon the size of your capital pool that you have, you know, it might be a couple thousand dollars. It might be $100,000. Doesn't matter what the size is, but we think it makes sense to look at your dollars and see, do I have anything that looks like that? You may not. If you do, that's a good bucket to have. Then we get down to, and as I said, as you give thought to this, you may come up with more buckets yourself. Then we get down to a bucket that we find really valuable. Many of these that we've talked about are very good candidates to have some multifamily investment in. This one absolutely does. And this is the don't ever spend it bucket. This is the money that you've earned, that you put aside, that you're continuing to add to with no intention of using it for a house or a car or sending a child to college, no intention of using the income that it generates to live off of at some point in time in the future, no intention of giving this money away. These are dollars that they're just going to be buried away, right? They're going to be in an investment, but it's the equivalent of, you know, we're putting them inside the mattress or in a coffee can in the backyard or whatever you might happen to call it. Those are dollars that, by virtue of the long-term nature of them, and several of these have some very long-term focuses to them, we think become really good candidates when you start looking at how you might invest in different assets, including multifamily real estate. So when we all get together in about a month, remember, as I said, the diversification webinar is on Tuesday, May 28th. When we get together then, we're going to go through and look at all the different places that any of these dollars could go. And then you can begin to give some thought as to, well, how much of those dollars might go there. A way to think about this might be a matrix, right? So this is a table, and across the top of the table, the columns, right? The columns are named today dollars, and then my targeted spend for a new house, and my targeted spend for college, and my emergency fund, my oops dollars, and my don't ever spend dollars, right? So I've got all these columns, and then the rows as I go down can be things like you know, large cap stocks and small cap stocks and government bonds and municipal bonds and commodities, gold, cash, maybe if you're a more experienced investor in some of those markets, option contracts or futures. And then we're going to advocate that not only commercial real estate, but commercial multifamily real estate ought to be one of those line items. And then your $1 million, now, as you've given some thought to this, now there's an opportunity to really go through and look at each of those and plug the dollars into the different places they go. It's a different way of thinking about it than simply saying, well, I think 17% of my money ought to be in multifamily real estate. That might be where you end up. This gets you there differently by really looking at the individual buckets of dollars, because as we said at the beginning, we don't think every dollar is the same as every other dollar. And thinking about it this way might put you in a position where you don't end up at 17%, you end up at 5%, or you end up at 30%. And We don't advocate for any specific percentage. That's a very personal number that we would encourage everyone to reach by giving some thought to it, which is what this week's session has been about. We do believe that everyone will benefit by having some commercial multifamily real estate in their portfolio at whatever level. I often say this to folks. Obviously, I'm a real estate guy. We think very highly of not just commercial real estate in general, but multifamily, obviously. But that's not 100% of my portfolio. I still own stocks and bonds and gold and other investments that give me the level of diversification that I am comfortable with for the buckets that I have in my capital pool that I have to invest. So real estate might sound great. You're still going to want other things. All those other things might sound great, stocks and bonds and all the other items I mentioned. We'd encourage you to at least have some exposure in the multifamily space. And that doesn't need to be obviously with us. We would certainly love to work with you if you have interest in learning more about how we could help you get into the game somehow, right? Invest passively with Mara Poling or with another sponsor that's out there. Go buy a property yourself, get a couple of friends or family together, go buy a fourplex down the street, get in the game. We think it's a great addition to a portfolio and can achieve some of the goals that these set out. All right. So as I said, that session is going to be on Tuesday, May 28th. You can register at the Learning Center at marapoling.com. Just click on webinars. If you have any questions about today's content at all, shoot me an email, pat@marapoling.com. And I look forward to talking to you again next week on another episode of Multifamily Real Estate Investing, presented by Mara Poling.